Today on Real Radio.
For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet, and association with God gathering his people together is also known as the trumpet of God. For us, how exciting is that?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse look at Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. In chapter 15, Paul explains and defends the resurrection, some to eternal life and some to eternal damnation. In the last 9 verses, he declares what will happen when our bodies are transformed in that resurrection. And as we're hearing, this hope is for the believer only. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called On Your Mark, Get Set.
We need a change. Oh, I want to go to heaven. Then you need to be changed. And it's not you taking this flesh and reforming your flesh. That's not going to happen. You and I are looking forward to, as believers, and we're all excited about it, that there's going to be this tremendous change. And yes, it's true. But this corruption, this body's dying, has got to put on incorruption. And it's very powerful because the Bible here, the word uses incorruption. The word means that which cannot be corrupted. You say, well, duh, what else could it mean? It means this: to be in the state of not being able to be corrupted, or to be truly genuine or truly sincere. And I don't mean sincere like nice, but the Bible means, or that word means, without wax, without falsehood, without any impurities, absolutely incorruptible. How many of you are Christians this morning? Raise your hand. Say, Jack, you do this to me every week. I'm going to do it every week too until the Lord comes back. Why? I think it's great to be able to say that in a church. Yeah, I'm a Christian. And check this out. I don't know what you think about yourself, but right now, according to the Bible, if you are in Christ, that is as a believer, you have been declared by God because of the righteousness of Christ that he purchased for you and I at the cross. You have been declared incorruptible by God. We could say that based on this verse, we are the incorruptibles. We are the genuines. We are the sincere. This is the work of God. This is the power of Christ. Are you in Christ? That's the word. That's the verbiage we ought to use these days. Well, are you a Christian or not? Hey, you know what? Are you in Christ? Because a believer knows what that means. And I love that. I don't know if you've ever been to England. If you've ever been to England, you got to go to Windsor Castle. You got to go. I had an 8-hour layover and took a train, went to Windsor Castle before I had to get back to the airport. That was amazing. Best part about the whole thing was the kings of England, they have in a museum there, and they even have their horses. They stuff their horses, and the horses are literally there like this. And then standing next to the horse, or seated on the horse, is the armor of the king of England, and there's a bunch of these guys. What cracked me up is, like, a few of them, I mean, they're like 4 feet tall, 5 feet tall. I thought, king of England. And his armor's like this. He's the guy. Of course, there's nobody in there, but he's come, you know, it's representing him. This is Henry VIII. Now, he was a big guy. He was a big guy. His armor's ginormously huge. The thing is, you can't tell because all you see is armor. Listen, if you are after the life of Adam, then you're listening to me right now. You've been born into this world. This world's all that you know, and you're a descendant of Adam, and the Bible's been making it very clear to us every week that as the descendants of Adam, we will die. But if you are in Christ, that is spiritually, if you've been born from above, you are now in Christ. And think about that armor for a moment. The king of England was behind that armor. He was in the armor. And it didn't matter how short or how tall, you had to get to him, you had to go through that armor. And believe me, they made it in such a way, ain't nobody going to get through that armor. And that's how your life is in Jesus Christ. Your life right now, Christian, believer, you are in Christ. You are surrounded by the armor of God. You are surrounded by the truth of God. You are surrounded, you are ensconced by the very provision of God's salvation. Someone Pentecostal say amen to that. Amen. That is good news. That's good news for us. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. No earthly resourcing of our doing can make us fit for heaven. Some of you legalists need to hear this right now. Well, I'm doing pretty good on my, I mean, I'm religious and I'm doing, listen, no part of the flesh and blood shall inherit the kingdom of God. It's got to be changed. That's a powerful thing. The next thing is this, is that verse 51, we learn this, that on your mark, get set, bro, because death doesn't win. Brethren, listen up. Death doesn't win. Many in this church need to be reminded of this. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Key words. Behold, open your eyes wide. It implies, understand this, know this, don't be ignorant about it. I tell you a mystery, something that has been not created, but has always been God's truth, but revealed to us in the last days, given to us, meaning that the time is now to know it. This is what God's word says. Well, know what? I love it. I have this marked in my Bible. I have the word we circled. Why? Because 2,000 years ago, Paul the Apostle used the we statement. He is looking forward to the imminent return of Christ, that Jesus could come at any moment. Who says? Paul does. He says, we. Don't you love that? He anticipated Christ's return and his lifetime. You say, well, Jack, what a joke. That was 2,000 years ago and Jesus didn't come. Did you know every generation is to anticipate his coming? Do you? Are you? When you understand what is in store, you'll be very happy to. Technically, I want you to look very carefully at this. We shall not all sleep. The word here is speaking about the appearance of a believer's body. It's a very sweet way of saying dead. We shall not all die. Okay, stop right there. Those of you who are struggling with this doctrine, how do you deal with that? He says, I'm going to tell you guys something that previously, it's always been God's truth, but now it's been revealed, previously unknown, but now the time has been revealed that you ought to know this. What is it? There's going to be a generation that doesn't die. Oh, I pray it's today. I pray it's right now. Wow. The Bible says there's a generation that will not die. I want to be that generation. I want to be in that group. And when I read scriptures and when I read the saints that have gone before us, there's a long line of those who wanted to be in that generation. I'm going to quote this verse many times today, so don't think I'm having a seizure. I'm going to be repeating this over and over again. It's 1 Thessalonians 4. It's the sister verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, describing the same event. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, I have that marked in my Bible because I don't want an angel to pick me up. I want Jesus to pick me up. The Lord himself. I love Moses. Moses says, this whole escape thing is great, God, but I'm not going without you. That's us today. We're not going without you, Lord. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. What's that going to sound like? With the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain, notice where Paul is inserting himself, shall be rapture, harpazo, caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. How long? Always. Therefore, look at verse 18. Worry yourself sick, panic, and freak out about this. No, it should be great comfort. Listen, if I say to you that I pray that the Lord comes back in the next few moments, and you go, oh no, that wouldn't be a good idea, then why not? What are you doing? No, you see, death's not going to win. We'll hear more about death in a moment. But look at verses 51 to 52. On your mark, get set, bro, because what? It's about time. That's what it's about. It's about time. But we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Those three words you're going to want to know. This is great stuff. Changed. The word means transformed, to take and to make something different. It's to take what you have and make something different. The word means to rearrange. I like that. Change. We'll be changed. The next thing is this. Moment. Look at the word moment. It's where we get the word atom. Don't you love how, remember I said earlier, all scripture is given by inspiration of God? The word here is where we get Adam from. Adam. You say, now, wait a minute. Yeah, but a moment's not an atom. Ah, but watch and listen to the meaning. It means the smallest of particles. It means something that is reduced down to the point of not being able to be reduced any further. It means something that is brought down so small it cannot be cut up any smaller. I like this. Why? How can that possibly be? Look at the word twinkling. Isn't that a cute word? All this incredible catastrophic stuff taking place in this. Wow! And then there's this word twinkle. And a twinkling. Well, that's a powerful word. It's translated to jerk or to spasm, a quiver, to sparkle, the gleam of light in the eye. Have you ever seen that happen with somebody? You know, there's a little shooting of a light ray that bounces back, or it's caught on film. By the way, scientists now with modern technology, you can measure the twinkling of an eye. It's 18 thousandths of a second. That's fast. How fast is that? Watch this. I'll show you. You want me to do it again? Watch, I'll do it again. There you have it. That fast. In one moment, we're going to be doing whatever we're doing, and then the Lord will be catching us up and out of here. In a moment. In a twinkling of an eye. Why is that important? Well, listen. The Bible says it's going to happen when the Lord makes that grand entrance into the atmosphere. There is that shout. There's the angel. There's the trumpet. All this taking place. Jesus said it this way in John 14, 1. He says, let not your heart be seismos, troubled, earthquaked in your heart. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, many places to dwell, glorious in dwelling. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. What's it going to be like? In a twinkling of an eye, to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Do you see the continuity of this? John 14, verses 1 to 3, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18, and 1 Corinthians 15, 50 to 58. What an exciting thing. Another verse I want you to hear, and it kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier, Luke 21, Luke 21, 34. Jesus said, be careful, because your hearts could be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of this life. I'm glad that's not our problem. And that day will close in upon you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. You don't live on the face of the earth, you. Your citizenship is where? In heaven. Verse 36, be always on the watch and pray. We want to say, how come, Jesus, that you may escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man? Is that amazing? Yeah, you Christians, you know, you want to escape things. Well, what is wrong with that? We're in an air-conditioned building right now, right? Why? Because it's hot outside. What's wrong with that? Makes sense. Makes absolute sense. The next great promise is my favorite life verse, Titus 2:13. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. I love it, looking. And this is an act of looking. The word looking here in the original Greek language means to actually, with understanding, open up. The word means to accommodate, to make wide. The word can also be translated to receive or enter, or also intercourse the thought. Open up and receive this, that. It is the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Listen, there is no blessed hope and glorious appearing in a joyful way regarding the second coming at the end of the tribulation period. That is the great and notable day of the Lord when he comes in wrath and judgment. But the rapture of the church is a tremendous, joyful, imminent experience that we're hoping again takes place today. And so we need to remember that. Very important. Point number two is this. On your mark, get set, and go. You see how it's kind of going like this? Bro, get up and go. Why? Go with assurance, verse 52. At the last trumpet, circle the last trumpet, For the trumpet will sound. So whatever the trumpet is, it's the last trumpet. And the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we, says Paul, shall be changed. Here's a fun thing. Watch this. Dr. Ryrie says this. There should be no confusion here. Whatever the last trumpet is, it will be the trumpet that, number one, sounds, and number two, that calls the believers' dead body and those believers at the moment of his coming to be instantaneously raptured upward. So listen, the last trumpet and the trumpet are speaking about his imminent return. See, so what? Look at 1 Thessalonians 4 again, verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the what? The trumpet of who? God. The trumpet of God, the last trumpet, the trumpet, in association with God gathering his people together, is also known as the trumpet of God. For us, how exciting is that? I like that. With assurance, we can be happy about that. Don't be afraid of his coming. It's very interesting to note that we today, as I may have mentioned earlier, that all the magazines printed up all the stuff about the rapture, making fun, and you saw that stuff last May. But what's interesting, and I would think also, you know, because of the Left Behind series that has gone all around the world and all of that, all of the translations, the talk today about the rapture, I think, is more than ever before. Maybe the world is even talking more about the rapture than some churches. And the temptation for you today is saying, oh, Pastor, that's really controversial stuff. Of course it's controversial. It's biblical. But are you going to say that this portion of Scripture is never going to happen? Well, it's spiritually speaking. Really? Well, after we get raptured up out of here, we'll explain it to you on the way up. But this is not a metaphor. This is the real thing. In fact, didn't Elijah get caught up? Huh? Think of that. God's able to do this. How big is your God? It's pretty amazing. Dr. H.A. Ironside writes this, that there are two reasons why this is a good picture for us. Number one, every citizen of the Roman Empire during the time of Paul was familiar with the last trumpet, meaning a Roman general would have the first trumpet blast blown to call his troops to detach camp. And the last trumpet would be announced to fall in line as the army departed. Interesting. Some have said that regarding the Jewish mind, there was the first trumpet that gathered God's people together, or would gather God's people together. I believe we have seen this. I believe that God's trumpet spiritually has been going out and gathering the nation of Israel together. You think of the Zionist movement, you certainly think of May 14th, 1948. You cannot deny, no matter what your views are, that God has drawn the Jew from all four corners of the earth. Where? To Israel. God is certainly gathering his people. Ultimately, of course, he'll gather them in belief. That's yet to happen. But also keep this in mind, that God blew a trumpet to gather his people unto himself. It's an exciting thing to realize. Now, let me read it again. What is it going to be like? 1 Thessalonians 4:13, I do not want you to be uninformed. The Bible uses the word ignorant. It's not being insulting here. Uninformed. Know the mystery. Concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow, get your pen ready, as others who have no hope. For we believe Jesus died and rose again. Even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Verse 15, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have died or fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Verse 17, then, number four, he says it fourth time, we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet them in the air, and thus we, number five, shall always be with the Lord. What an awesome, awesome confidence. Verse 53 teaches us that we can go with expectancy. We can go and be ready and live now with expectancy. Now, this is blunt. Verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. and this mortal, this is good news, must put on immortality. Last service, there's a man. He's been battling with cancer. He doesn't have long to live. Let me tell you something. When I came to verse 53, he just melted with joy. He said, Pastor, last week was one of the best things I've ever heard when you said that one statement. I don't remember anything else about your message, but I remember this. When the doctor told me I had 6 weeks to live, and you said, no, no, it's not true. You have 6 weeks to leave. Put everything in perspective. And now this verse? He said, now this verse? And he's got it. We walk around, we pamper. I have a wart right here. I guess it's a wart. I don't know what it is. It's growing. I told Lisa, I said, get some Compound W. I don't like it. And now my granddaughter's looking at it. And I don't want her to look at that. What is that thing? What is it? And it's funny because, man, you know, I started caring so much about my flesh this week. I got to get that removed. Why? It's my arm. Nobody else cares if it's removed or not. Why? It's not their arm. It's my arm. I care about my arm. I love you, but I don't care about your arm. And I'm thinking, this flesh. And I'm getting all these age spot things. What is that? And I've noticed driving in my car and the sun hits it just right. Holy cow. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, then I'll move on then. It's all corruptible. It's all corrupted. It's all mortal. But that guy got it. He got it. Yep. I'm going home. I'm leaving. See, we get so caught up in taking care of this carcass. Are you okay? Are we all right today? You want some lotion? We'll fix that. It's dying, man. Its days are numbered. Must. The change must happen for us to get to heaven. 1 John 3, verse 2, great verse. Listen, 1 John 3, 2. It says, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone, verse 3, who has this hope in himself purifies, or he himself purifies himself. He walks with the Lord, walks in the Spirit, does not fulfill the lust of flesh. Why? Just as he is pure. Walking after Jesus.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a look at a section in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 where Paul continues his defense of the eventual resurrection, some to eternal life, some to eternal damnation. Also, what kinds of transformed bodies we'll have in that resurrection. The title of this lesson is, On Your Mark, Get Set. Now, if that leaves you wanting more, you'll have to join us again on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, don't forget, tonight you can catch our television program. We hope you'll do that because we really think you're going to like it. It's called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. It airs Monday evenings at 7 o'clock West Coast time on hischannel.com. Sit down at the computer and just type in hischannel.com. Now, our program features Pastor Jack dealing with a whole bunch of topics. Things that are in the news, and how to see them with a scriptural worldview. Domestic policies, what's happening here in the U.S., and how the believer is to handle those things biblically. International developments around the world, including the persecuted church, Israel, and Islam. And, of course, topical studies from the scripture, and a whole lot more. Now, sometimes you'll see Pastor Jack giving a study, other times you'll see him interviewing a special guest. It's a great program. Pastor Jack invites you and your friends to watch Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Just visit hischannel.com Monday nights at 7 o'clock and then click on Live TV Stream for Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Now, if for some reason you're unable to catch Real Life with Jack Hibbs at its normally scheduled time, that's the beauty of hischannel.com. Just click on Video On Demand right there at the top of the page and watch recent editions of Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.